Welcome to season two of the Dare to Believe podcast. Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, Christy.
Are you excited about season two?
I'm very excited about season two. We've got a lot of great guests for our listeners and interviews full of revelation, awesome stories and testimonies that will encourage and inspire you, our listener, for the more of God.
So we want you to dare to believe.
So hey, and welcome to the Dare to Believe podcast. This is Rebecca Ribnick on the road down in Argentina. Beautiful Argentine afternoon. Sun's shining, birds are singing. You can probably hear them in the background. And I am super fortunate to be joined by my dear friend and amazing woman of the Lord, Miss Becky Babcock. Hey, Becky.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
So one of the things I love about Becky is whenever I talk to her, there is a release of wisdom and faith. She just talks, and I have like clarity over situations in my life. So I'm fortunate that I get to spend time with her here in Argentina. But I'm confident, too, that you, our listeners, are going to have similar experiences, because that's just the spirit on our life. But first up, Becky, how did we end up sitting out here in Buenos Aires?
Wow. Yeah, that's a loaded question. I originally came to Argentina because my parents are missionaries here. And so I moved here when I was 16 or 17. I was here for a few years, and then I went back to the States, went to college in the States. I went to Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry.
Heyo!
And during that time, the Lord, I had kind of wondered if I'd be back in Argentina at some point, but I was not sure if that was where I'd be. I've always had a heart for missions, so I did want to go to another country. Argentina was an option, but it was kind of, I just put it on the shelf for a while. And after my time in Bethel School of Ministry, I was in Redding, California for two more years. And it was, I think, my last year that I was there that the Lord spoke to me about coming back to Argentina. And so that was in probably October, actually around this time of year, 4 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah, it was almost to the day of today, actually, that the Lord spoke to me about coming back. And then it took a few months to get all my stuff together and come back down. But I moved to Argentina in July of 2016. And then from there, the Lord just started putting things together like really, really quickly. So when I got here, I wasn't exactly sure what I was going to be doing here.
You just knew where to go.
Yeah.
You didn't know what to do. You just knew where to go.
Yeah, exactly. Like I felt a release to come back to Argentina, but I didn't have really any direction on what I would be doing here.
I actually just like want to pause and highlight that. That's actually a big deal. And I think sometimes we can get kind of handcuffed with the what, like, what will this look like and how will I do it? But you heard the Lord and so you were obedient and you stepped out in faith and then He started opening doors for you. It's actually a big deal.
Yeah. Well, and I remember I asked the Lord for confirmation, on two different areas and I just asked the Lord for confirmation and He spoke to me and said there were two things that were going to be confirmations for me, but it wouldn't happen until after I got back or after I came to Argentina.
Oh,
so I was like, man, so that's not really cool. That's not how confirmations are supposed to work. It's supposed to work like before I go.
Before you step out. Oh, that's really funny. I didn't know that.
And then, I mean, within the first like few months, the Lord had confirmed both of those things had happened. So it was like, okay, yeah, I'm supposed to be here. But I got here.
Okay, but so back to like, you know, this woman carries a lot of faith. Again, you just heard the Lord, you acted, and He's like, oh yeah, I'll make sure you know. And I do think that is true a lot, is when we step out in faith, like there's just grace. There's grace to step into it. And it gets confirmed as you go. But that's just really kind of insane.
Yeah, and I think that the Lord has like all of us on a journey of hearing from Him. So in my walk with the Lord, He probably wouldn't have started like speaking to me like that. But because I have grown in my relationship with Him, you know, you kind of have to start taking more and more risks as you walk with the Lord. And so I think it, like, at that point, it was like, no, you're not going to get the confirmation before. You need to go. But it's because of the relationship that I have with him, I think. I think everybody's on a different journey in that area. So in July of 2016, I got here at the beginning of the month. And I think within a month or two, the Lord had already spoke to me about planting a school. And this was actually through with my parents as well, because they are in charge of an organization that works with young people, teenagers. And they have had a dream for the last, I don't know, like 7-8 years to plant a ministry school for people that are like 18, just young adults, 18 to 25, that age group. So when they had originally talked to me about it, I was like, oh, no, I don't really know how to do that. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing in that area. But as we prayed about it and we got like approval from different people that we needed to get approval from, like I just knew that that was what I was here for. So started kind of like getting, you know, applications ready. There's like so much that goes into a ministry school. And this was actually going to be a full-time discipleship school. So we were going to have students come and live on campus for 9.5 months. Yeah. So it wasn't just to like have them come for a few hours a day. It was like, okay, how much are we going to pay, or how much are we going to charge for to cover food, housing? And I hadn't even been living here that long. So I really didn't even know what the cost of living was. But you know, it was just something that the Lord had different people that I was able to connect with. So we were able to set a good budget. We were able to start sending out the applications or sending out, you know, the promotional material. People started signing up for it. That whole process was an act of faith from like start to finish.
Wow.
And then when we started the school, even, which the school year in Argentina starts in like March, we started, I think, the end of February, and then it goes until about December. And so when we started in February, I actually have in my computer still like, okay, this is what we're doing the first week. And then we would change things every week. We would change it just a little bit because we're trying to figure out like exactly what this is going to look like. But the Holy Spirit was really, really faithful in teaching us along the way, like exactly what that was going to look like. And then also, after we had started to prepare for the discipleship school, I got a phone call from a pretty influential pastor here in Argentina, and he wanted to talk to me about starting a ministry school. And he didn't know at the time that I was like already in the process of starting this discipleship school.
Oh, I didn't realize that either. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was in October of 2016.
So a few months after you'd been here.
Yeah, a few months after I'd been here, and I'd already been like, we'd already started the process of, you know, everything was in motion for the discipleship school, but I was still in this like
kind of in limbo a little bit.
Yeah. And I was getting my feet on the ground and just figuring things out. I was still like freaked out about starting a discipleship school because I was like, I really don't know what I'm doing. But I go to this meeting with the pastor, and I remember I had the meeting with him and the youth pastor, and they're like, we've been praying and we've been asking the Lord, and we know that we want to start like a supernatural ministry school at our church. And I said, oh, you know what? I'm already starting a school next year, so I really am not going to have the time to, or like, I don't even know what I'm doing with the school I'm starting. So like, I don't know. And, but in the meeting, I really felt like the presence of the Lord, and there was just a grace in the meeting. And I remember even as we were talking, I'm like, oh, this sounds like something like the Lord wants to happen. And so he kept talking. He's like, can you just give us like one day, just one day a week where you come and teach? And I felt like, I just felt life on that too. And I was like, okay, let's see what this would look like. So after several different meetings and things, we decided every Saturday morning I would go downtown. It's about 45 minutes to an hour, depending on traffic, to get there. But every Saturday morning I would go down and teach at the ministry school at that church.
Let me just back up here for a second, because it's actually, so first off, you're doing something you don't know how to do because you said yes. Like, here you are getting ready to start a school. And then another school pops up as an opportunity. And what was your experience in running schools before this point?
I didn't have any experience. I was an administrative assistant. to an outreach pastor in Bethel Church in Redding, California. And I had no experience at all running schools.
So did you feel equipped?
I had taken the school planting track in my when I was in the ministry school. And so I had like some knowledge and stuff. Actually, after taking that track, I was like, man, this is so much work. I don't think I'm ever going to do this. And then that was like a few years before I came. But so I did have some like, I did have some training in that. But as far as any experience or anything, I had zero experience. I just did not know what I was doing.
So I'm just aware of it because a lot of times, again, that's a limitation that people will place is like, I don't have this experience or I don't know how to do it. And that will keep us from going after what the Lord has for us to do, because those things because in the natural world, those are hindrances.
Yeah.
But in the kingdom of God, if he says go, he's going to open doors and make it possible for you.
Well, one of the things that could have been a hindrance for me was just the fact that I'm kind of a perfectionist. So doing something that I have no idea what I'm doing, like I want it to look good. I want it to be excellent. But I got some really good advice from some different leaders that were in my life and said, hey, you know what, when you're starting something for the first time, like you need to do what's the best of your ability, but that might not look amazing, like just at first. And then you'll just get better and better as you
That's
go.
That's really good advice.
Yeah. So that kind of gave me a little bit of like freedom.
Permission.
Yeah. Permission to try different things. Realize, you know what, if it's not completely smooth and amazing at first, like we can just change things, adjust as we go, and things start to get so much smoother. Like right now, we're in our third year of the discipleship school, and we've just learned so much in the first 2.5 years. So now I feel like, okay, we're in a really good pace. We're in a really good rhythm. We're seeing a lot of amazing results. And even in the ministry school downtown, the one that's only Saturday mornings, we've just learned so much in the last 2.5 years as well. And even the staff that I have now, they're like, man, we've grown so much. Things are so much smoother. We're still, the cool thing is from day one, there were testimonies like of what the Lord was doing. So even though, you know, the administrative part didn't look, you know, maybe we weren't completely organized like we should have been, but the Holy Spirit was there, and he was transforming lives from day one. So that's the most important part.
Yeah, that's really good. I think another point too, just to pull out is, you know, you're already doing something you're uncomfortable with. You're already doing something you don't know how to do. And you have permission to course correct, which I think is huge, as I think a lot of times we just don't go for it. And you actually don't know what you're doing until you start doing it. Mm-hmm. And that can really hinder us. But course corrections are great. Like, I remember hiking in California. I was hiking with somebody, and they're like, you know, we'll go for about 10 minutes, and then we'll figure out how our packs are fitting, where things are rubbing, if something needs to be tightened or loosened or something. But you can't know that when you put your pack on at first. And I think a lot of times we try to have those things nailed down completely and be perfect, and that's just never going to happen. It'll keep you from it. But then I love that this other opportunity for the Saturday school came up, and you were willing to, there's some wind chimes here. You were willing to say yes because you felt the Lord on it, not because it made any reasonable sense. Mm-hmm. And then there was the grace to do it too, which sometimes, again, it's not, if we're looking at it with our natural mind, it's not going to make sense. And you wouldn't be able to, you wouldn't have done the school if you're just looking from the natural mind. But now that's really taken off.
Yeah, it really has. And also, like, the Lord brought the staff afterwards, too.
That's awesome.
Because when we started, it was, like, mainly just me. And that was something that I was a little bit nervous about. But then afterwards, the Lord brought all the people that I needed and that the school needed. So that was just really cool. It's definitely been a huge walk of faith where you say yes and then things come together afterwards.
And there's sometimes that is the hard part, is those big moments where, you know, the music's playing and there's an altar cry and you're like, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever. Or you're even, maybe it looks different for you. You're in your quiet time or something. The Lord just touches your heart. You say yes. The music fades away and the regular lights come on and everyday life hits and you have to walk it out every single day. And a lot of it's not glamorous. A lot of it looks like answering emails and being faithful in the little things. So how do you stay focused and joyful in walking it out?
I think it does really help to hear testimonies of what the Lord is doing. Yeah. Because there's a lot of details. There's a lot of administrative stuff that we're doing. You know, you got to clean up messes sometimes. And there's just a lot of character formation that's happening in the students and in me and in everybody. You know, so there's
a lot, really fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's just a lot of stuff that you can kind of get buried in. But then you hear testimonies that you're like, oh, wow. That's why we're here. Mm-hmm. So that every student has encounters with the Holy Spirit, has encounters with Jesus. Everybody's learning their identity as sons and daughters. Everyone's learning what their purpose is, like what that looks like, what their role is, and what the Lord wants to do here in Argentina. And just hearing the testimonies has been really what has helped me just keep my focus on why we're doing this. And I remember one girl that was in during her first year of the Saturday school. It had been about 8 years since she had talked to her mom. Like the relationship she had with her mom was like just totally broken, and she was probably about like 28 or something at the time. And so most of her adult life she just had not talked at all with her mom.
Wow.
And during that year, the Lord really started speaking to her about, we talk about the culture of honor, and like honor doesn't mean agreeing with everything. You know, you can honor somebody and disagree. And I think that her and her mom just like butted heads a lot. And so they just had a hard time like ever being in the same room. And when she started learning about honor and stuff, she decided that she needed to contact her mom and try to restore that relationship. And the Holy Spirit like totally helped her out with that too. And now, this is about 2.5 years later, she just spent, in Argentina, Mother's Day is in October.
Yeah, we just had it.
Yeah, we just had it. And she just spent Mother's Day with her mom. It was I think, one of the first Mother's Days that she spent with her. But during all of first year, the Lord was restoring that relationship. She was able to go visit her. They started talking almost every day on the phone. And I just talked to her about 10 days ago, and she told me that she was spending Mother's Day this year with her. So that was like something that's, wow, like, you know, restoration of families. That is so huge.
That's huge.
And just somebody that hasn't had a relationship with their mom in over 8 years, and now they're totally restored to normal. That kind of stuff is amazing.
I'm just going to jump in real quick and say, if you have a broken relationship with someone in your family, like the Lord... take this testimony and let it encourage your heart. And if the Lord did it here in Argentina, he will do it in Minnesota or wherever you are listening to this. He absolutely will do that. And so Father, we just release a grace right now for restoration of relationships. Lord, I ask for practical wisdom and first steps. And even what Becky said, that honor doesn't mean agreement. And the same, forgiveness does not mean that hurts and wrongs done are acceptable, but it does release you from them. So we just release that over you right now. And we know that God's got incredible things in store for you, for your family. And it if it's not too good to be true, it's not the end of the story. Yeah. Yeah, that's so good.
Amen, yeah.
He shared that the police testimony?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that one too. There was, I also talked to a police officer about 10 days ago as well. And
he was in the school.
He was in the school in our first year on Saturday mornings. And during the year, the Lord really just emphasized identity and how he's a loved son, that he has an amazing purpose, amazing destiny. And the Lord just spoke to him a lot on identity. And because of that, he started like taking more risks. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we see at Correlation. When somebody understands their identity as sons and daughters of God, it just is natural to start taking more risks, mm-hmm. and have confidence.
Wait, go into that a little bit.
I think when you realize like that you have the backing of heaven, like when you know like Jesus really does love you, he chose you. it wasn't a mistake. Like, he was really intentional on choosing you.
Yep.
He doesn't make mistakes. So he, you know, and he continues to choose us every day. He's really proud of us. He loves us. Even when we mess up, he's, you know, we have such a good dad that, when he messes up, he wants to help us out. Like, he has the best in store for us.
Yeah.
So when we start,
he wants to just cover us.
Yeah, exactly. He wants to,
he's not looking for an opportunity just to hit you or to punish you. He's looking for an opportunity to love you and grow you into who you are.
Yeah. And any discipline that comes from the Lord, it's with our best in mind. So he's like, hey, you're better than that. I want something better for you, you know? So just to know that the Lord is for us, that's just huge. And I think so many times we can, just feel so, like there's a lot of, things that we have to do. Like, we need to pray more. We need to fast more. We need to read the Bible more. And we get into this rut where we always are feeling like we're not doing enough for the Lord. So we don't have his approval. We don't have, you know, like, whatever we do, even if we fast and pray, and it just never feels like we're doing enough. And that's really something that is normal in any religion. Like, every religion tells you, you need to do this, this, and this to reach God, to please God. And something that I always tell our students too is, like, the difference between Christianity and every other religion is that instead of doing all these things to please God or to reach God, God has done everything possible to reach us.
Yeah.
So it's, like, completely different. He is so, he's just so radically in love with us. He's so for us. He created us with a purpose and a destiny.
Come on.
And he wants us to actually be his agents of transformation in the world. And so when our students start to actually really capture that and realize, hey, I've been chosen to bring transformation to my city, to my country, to my region, it's amazing to see what happens. And this guy, this police officer, really grabbed hold of his identity. And then he started saying, okay, how can I bring heaven into the police department where I'm at? How, you know, if I have the backing of heaven, if Jesus paid the price so that salvation, healing, restoration can flow into this police department, like, what is my role in that? And we talk about that, like, we carry heaven with us. And so he started just taking some risks, and currently he has helped to start several, like, small groups in the police departments, not just his, but in several in the area that he's working in. And he's also been able to get into the police academy. And they offer, like, small groups for people that are interested in the Lord or that are Christians in the police department. That's not normal at all in Argentina.
The weight of what this is might be lost on some of our American listeners. Like, this is a pretty radical difference and change.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, there can be, like, corruption is pretty normal, like, in different police departments here. So even bringing the exact opposite, bringing the kingdom, is totally amazing, and is not very heard of. So he was able to just tell me what he's doing. But he told me, you know, Becky, the key was me learning who I am, learning my identity. And because of that, I'm doing everything that I'm doing to bring transformation to my workplace.
That's awesome.
And so I think that that's, in our schools, we really want to focus on identity and having every student learn who they are. And not just, like, through teachings, just spending time in the presence of the Lord and having the Holy Spirit speak to them directly.
That's good. That's really important.
Yeah. And then because of, I think that through that, each person's going to realize, okay, this is my role in my city, in bringing transformation to my city, or bringing, or serving in my church, or bringing transformation to my workplace.
Or your family.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I think I like to always emphasize this. It could look like vocational ministry, but it very often isn't. And if the Lord made you to be an engineer or a doctor or a police officer, you know, that's where you find yourself, then you are the agent of change in that realm. And we need people that are God-given architects and engineers and whatever, you know, whatever it is. We need the best of the kingdom into every realm of society. But it does start with knowing who you are and that the Lord has chosen you, that you can't fail. You just can't fail if the King of Kings is for you.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome.
Yeah, this is so good. So you've got, you still have the two schools going right now. Mm-hmm. I love that you said, we started this program by saying that it was a risk, you know, just increase in risk and how the Lord has taken you on a journey of faith. I know Becky is in agreement that she spells faith the same way I do, which is R-I-S-K. And that has to increase. Like, our level of risk actually has to increase because it gets comfortable. Like, it was scary to move to Argentina, but now it's not, that's not scary anymore. It was scary to start a school, but that's not scary anymore. So what does risk or faith look like in your life now?
Well, we've been given the opportunity to actually start another type of ministry school. So we already have, we have one that's the discipleship school. We have the Saturday school. And the place that we are doing the Saturday school, we've been, the pastor has asked us to have that be like every day instead of just Saturdays. And that format will be more like, you know, four hours a day during the week. And for me, that's what risk looks like right now. Like, I want every year, I want to be doing something that is a challenge for me, because it can get comfortable once you start learning, like, you know, the schools, I didn't know what I was doing. I still don't necessarily know exactly what, I mean, that's something that you continue to learn. And I always want to be a learner and continue to learn everything.
Sure.
But you know, you learn a certain level and then it's not as risky as it was the first year. And so now I'm like, okay, we have a team, we have, like a schedule laid out. Now what does risk look like for me? And I really know that for me next year, it's, starting this everyday school, downtown. And then just to see what the Lord, every time we do a school, there's always a lot of different opportunities that come out of that. And a lot of more risks that come out of that as well.
Sure.
But yeah, I think that it's really important that we continue to take steps of faith, continue to take bigger and bigger risks, and never become comfortable. And I think I'm sure it looks different for everybody too.
Yeah.
My risks are different than yours. The people listening have different risks that the Lord is putting in front of them. But I think it's very important that as Christians, I think living in the kingdom looks like living kind of at the edge of our limits, so that we really do have to depend on the Lord.
Yes.
Because
this is why we're friends.
Yeah. If he doesn't show up, like, I don't want it to work.
Come on.
You know? So if in the schools, it's like we have a lot of stuff that we plan and we do, but there's like a big portion that if the Holy Spirit's not there, if he's, you know, if he doesn't show up, then it's not going to work.
Yeah, I totally am like, man, if I'm in leading a meeting or something and Holy Spirit's not there, I'd rather be at home watching Netflix.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm serious, like, go watch basketball. Yeah, Becky and I watch a lot of Warriors together, which is super fun. But, you know, if the Holy Spirit's not there and it can still go on, then I'm really going to question why we're doing this. Mm-hmm. Because there's plenty of that out there. That's how the world operates too. But we can keep stretching our boundaries and take more ground for the kingdom. What does it look like to walk in our full inheritance as sons and daughters of the King of Kings? Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of opportunity there. And so you're talking about risk in your work life, in building a school. Any areas in your personal life where you're feeling like, yeah, you step out? Well, and this is why I ask this, is because something I love about Becky is she lives this. She's talking about, you know, starting schools, but obviously she is willing to move her whole life to South America, following the voice of the Lord. But, I mean, I've seen her everywhere she goes. She's an open heaven. There's an opportunity for an encounter with the Lord, whether it's somebody at the train station or a friend on the street or whatever. There's an opportunity for the Lord to interact and move through her. So any other areas in your life where you're like, yeah, I'm stepping out here, or you're feeling a challenge or an opportunity?
Well, because of the school that we're starting next year, I will be moving downtown as well, which living in a big city has never been a dream of mine. Like, I'd rather live in a smaller area with less population.
And you're moving to downtown Buenos Aires, one of the biggest cities in South America. One of the biggest cities in the Americas.
Yeah, so that's going to...
outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah, so I know that there's going to be like a lot of just things there that the Lord grows me in. And just seeing what that's going to look like, what areas I'll be serving in at the church downtown that I haven't been able to so far since I've been involved in the school here. But yeah, I'm sure that it's going to look really interesting next year. It's going to be great, but that's going to be probably most of my personal risks are going to be involved with that.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
That totally makes sense. So what would you say for like advice for someone who's listening to this and they're like, wow, I've been living pretty comfortably. And maybe they're not quite used to taking risks all the time. What would you say are good first steps?
I think just ask the Holy Spirit if there's a risk that you should be taking that you're not taking. He's really good. Like, he's not going to throw us in the deep end. Usually, maybe sometimes, but usually if you're in a place in your life that you don't feel like you're taking really any risk for the Lord, just ask him like, okay, Lord, how can I start walking in faith more? Mm. Give me like one thing that I can do even this week. What's one thing that I can do that, requires you to show up?
That's great.
And so it might be like praying for somebody at the supermarket, or it might be something, you know, just really... something like that, because that's definitely takes courage to do.
Yeah.
And we don't want to ever downplay anything that the Holy Spirit asks us to do. And it's really when we start doing just things like that on a weekly or a daily basis, we just become more sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's saying to us. And then he might call us to do things that, you know, like go on a missions trip or go... move to Latin America.
There it is, the voice of the Lord. Move to Latin America. That's great. And I think with that, again, back to identity, when you know that stepping out in faith, if you fail according to the world's eyes, like it doesn't go as you planned or how you think it will, but you stepped out in faith, that's victory.
Yeah.
That's actually victory. So even if you step out and you pray for someone at the supermarket and you don't see them healed or whatever it is you're praying for, in that moment, you stepped out in faith, and that is actually victory. Mm-hmm. And that counts. That counts in your, that goes to the faith account for sure. It's a deposit in your faith account. So that's, I think it's great not to just think of results or what we think is supposed to happen.
Right.
But know that the Lord backs you up, and you're a son, you're a daughter.
That's huge. And when we talk to our students, I always tell them, hey, if you take the risk, then that's what I'm looking for. Like, it doesn't really matter the results. That depends on the Lord, too. Like, there's a lot of, you can pray for somebody, and maybe in the moment they don't receive a healing, but they can go home, and the Lord totally touches them. Sometimes you never even find out about
it.
Like years later, no. You find out and you're like, really? But the point is, the point is that you stepped out, you took the risks, and we always celebrate in our classes, in our schools, we always celebrate that you took the risk.
Yeah.
And then the results, like, they belong to the Lord.
Yeah, which is good. I mean, it's not a results-based Christianity. Yeah. I don't think that's real Christianity, because it's not real relationship. You don't have relationship. You don't have good friends where you're always just worrying about what they can do for you. That's not a friendship. That's servanthood. Mm-hmm. And the Lord's looking for friends. He's looking for sons and daughters, not servants and slaves. So there's just opportunity there to grow in relationship. So you mentioned through this whole episode about hearing from the Lord. And so I'm curious, how do you hear from the Lord?
I think that kind of depends, but usually it's a lot of times through just inspired thought at this point. When I was younger, I remember when I was probably like 12, 13, the Lord would speak to me more in like mental pictures. So I would pray and the Lord would show me something. And sometimes that still happens, definitely. But I think now... or like while I'm reading my Bible, there will be like a verse that's really highlighted to me, and I'll ask the Holy Spirit, okay, what do you want to say in this. It's definitely something that we need to, sometimes we hear something from the Lord, but we need to keep listening and ask sometimes like, hey, what did that mean? Like I felt something in my spirit when I read this or when I saw this, or I'm having these, you know, inspired thoughts is like just when I'm praying and spending time just with music in the background, kind of just spending time with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden I'll have an idea or I'll have like a solution to a problem.
Sure.
But then just to keep listening, like, okay, Holy Spirit, but what does this look like? You know, like give me a little bit more here. Because I think he likes that. Because like you said, it is a relationship.
Yeah.
So he likes the back and forth dialogue there. But I think a lot of times as Christians, sometimes we don't pay attention to what's going on in our imagination when we're spending time with the Lord. And I think that a lot of times that's how he speaks to us, because he created our imagination. So it's not like,
can you give a, for instance,
for
instance, what does it look like when he speaks to your imagination?
Yeah, I think just, creative ideas. So, there's been a lot of times during the schools, leading the schools where, there will just be like a certain problem. And all of a sudden I'll start thinking of what that looks like to fix the problem. Or like, I'll be like, okay, what does this Saturday look like? Or what is my time with the students look like? And I'll have a picture in my mind. Oh, I need to, I want them to all just soak in the presence of the Lord. And, you know, just like different things like that will come to, something will come into your imagination. And sometimes we just think that it's our idea, but if we're asking the Lord for something and all of a sudden we get this idea, then it's probably from him.
That's a great point.
Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes we just over-spiritualize stuff.
Yeah.
And the Lord just, like he'll speak to that.
That's such a great thought though. Like if you're asking the Lord, if you're praying, you're asking the Lord to hear his voice, then he's going to be speaking to you. So it's about trusting that that's actually his voice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
definitely
great. Has it changed? Well, I guess you did say that already. It has changed over the years.
Yeah. And I think that it goes like, it depends. Like there's not just one way that he speaks to me. In the Bible, it says in Job 33:14 that like he speaks one way or another, but man does not perceive it. So it's like he's speaking to us. I think that he speaks to us a lot more than we realize. It can be even like in day-to-day things that happen, or like unusual coincidences, just different things that happen. And but we're not, a lot of times we don't realize it's the Lord speaking to us. So I think that that's another thing that I'm like, Lord, I want to be more attentive to that. Because I think that he enjoys talking to us throughout the day.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good. So we're coming to the end here, and I'm just thinking, like, if there's one piece of advice you can give somebody, okay, two different situations, so two pieces of advice, but one is someone who's saying, like, man, this life, this Christianity you're describing is so different from the Christianity I live. Do you have anything you would say to that person?
If you read the New Testament, like the life of Jesus, I really feel like that is our model for life. And so if this looks different than what you're used to, I would encourage you to read through the Gospels and just see how like Jesus's life was not that normal. And, you know, and so life for us, I don't think is supposed to be that normal.
Yeah,
there's supposed to be healings. We're supposed to be seeing people, relationships restored, healing, just what Jesus showed us was available. Like that's available to us.
Yeah.
And so I really think I would encourage everyone to read through the life of Jesus again and be like, wow, does my life look like this? Does it look really different? Because he showed us a new standard and a new way to live, definitely.
Yeah, and is that, again, I want to just emphasize, would you say that's for people that are in vocational ministry, or is that just basic Christianity?
No, I think that's basic Christianity. Every believer is supposed to look like Jesus. Not just, sometimes we emphasize the character part, and character is super important. And we talk on character a ton. So I don't want to say anything negative about that. Obviously, we want to be like Jesus in character, but also we're supposed to be like Jesus in power. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. And so what are we doing with the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us? If we're not seeing miracles, if we're not like, the Holy Spirit is really bored inside some of us. It's like, it's like he wants to be doing stuff.
Yeah.
So if you are listening and you're feeling like, man, I want this, it's because the Holy Spirit inside of you like wants to be doing the same stuff that Jesus was doing. And Jesus said that in John 14:12 too. He said, you know, you guys are going to do greater things than me because I'm going to the Father. He was only on earth for 3 years, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we are also empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the same works that Jesus did.
Yeah. So good. I don't ever want Holy Spirit to be bored with me.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a life goal. It's like, how crazy can we run? And I know I have some family and friends that are probably rolling their eyes a little bit, but like that's, you know, that's what the Lord's wired us, I think, as Christians, is to go after impossibilities, which means you're going to run into an impossible situation now and again.
Yeah.
So, and then the other question then would be, what would you say to someone who's already living it, who's already taken steps and going after stuff? Like, how would you encourage them to sustain it and for longevity in that?
Yeah, I think something the Lord has been speaking to me a lot, well, it's something he has been talking to me a lot lately, is just to keep our focus on Jesus. Like, it's all about Jesus. And sometimes we get so caught up in, like, even, really good things that we can just forget about, you know what, this is really all about him. In John 15:5, it talks about, you know, if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And I love that verse because it's like, and the word remain actually means to be continually present with. Mm-hmm. So if you know, it's so hard sometimes to stay focused. There's like so many different things to distract us, I think, nowadays. But just if we can continually keep our focus on the Lord, on Jesus, we're going to bear much fruit. Yeah. Just our lives are going to be fruitful. And it's going to be just so natural and normal. But even, you know, when you're doing good stuff, like you can be seeing people, the sick healed, people being set free, people finding their identity, and it's amazing. But it's really empty in itself if we don't keep our focus and our relationship with Jesus fresh.
Yeah.
That's something that's so important to stay current in my relationship with Jesus. And sometimes that's going to look like saying no to different opportunities.
Good opportunities.
Great opportunities.
Yeah.
But opportunities that, you know, the Lord's not actually asking me to do. Because, you know, you're going to always have a lot of different opportunities to do things, but just keeping our focus on Jesus is so, so important. Yeah.
That's really good. Oh man, I feel like we're just scratching the surface on all these things, but we'll wrap up here. I do want to highlight the fact that Becky is a Bethel church missionary. And so if something inside of you is being stirred, like, you know, ask the Lord if there's an offering that you want to give and support and sow into the work that's being done here, because it's good work. I'm here seeing it firsthand, and it's good stuff and it's good soil. So, Becky, if someone's looking to donate or to contact you or whatever, what would be the best way to go about doing that?
Just to go on the website, Bethel Church website, and they have a give site there for missionaries, and they can just find my name on that site.
Great. And this Bethel.org? Bethel.com?
Bethel.com.
Okay. And then Becky Babcock under the give. And finally, Becky, would you just pray for us, pray for our listeners?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for every person that's listening to this podcast. I bless every person, Lord. I ask that you would encounter each one of them, Lord. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to just invade whatever place that they're at listening to this, that they would feel your presence, they would feel your love, they would feel your encouragement. If they need healing, that you would bring healing into their bodies right now, Lord. And if they need encouragement, that you would really just fill them with hope right now in whatever situation that they're facing, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that you are so, so good. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us. I ask that each person that's listening as well, Lord, that you would show them if there's a risk that you're asking them to take, that we would just not be afraid to take risks, Lord, that you would show them something really just specific that they can even do this week, Lord Jesus. And I pray for every one of them, if there's any limitations that they're putting on themselves, that you would just begin to break those off, Lord, because I know that you want to do so much more with us and through us than we can even imagine. So thank you, Jesus, for being with us during this time. We bless your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Becky, thanks, for being with us.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Dare to Believe podcast. We are grateful for you, our listeners. You can find out more about us at
our website, daretobelieve.info. That's dare2believe.info. Also, to make sure you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes, subscribe to us on Apple iTunes or however you listen to your podcasts. And go ahead and leave a 5-star rating while you're at it. Thank you, guys.